Today, we're glad that you are here today to worship together with us. Just a quick note about this week. The biggest announcement tonight is our last Vesper service. So if you haven't made any and would like to get the last one in, it will be at First United Methodist in Rome. And you can go. It'll start at 6 o'clock tonight. Most of your other announcements are in your bulletin. Of course, always follow us on social media to keep up with some of the things going on as we kind of calm down. And then school starts. So make sure you know what's going on by following us on all the social media sites we are on. So, and, of course, our website. So let's pray together and we begin our worship today. God, we thank you so much as we gather here today. As we gather to worship you, to spend time with each other, to grow, to learn, to be challenged, to hear your invitation. God, before we do anything, we recognize who you are as our Creator. We recognize, God, that you are God who goes before us, the God who loved us before we ever knew anything about you. God, before we were even thought about, you loved us, you saw us. So God, because of what you've done for us, because you, in your goodness and in your grace and in your love, you came in Jesus Christ and walked this earth and gave up your life, you laid it, Jesus laid it down for all those, for all people, whether they are like us or not, so that we may come to know what true hope is, we may come to know what true love is. Thank you so much for the work of Jesus, and because of Jesus, we worship you. Stars they wear the morning sun. Just where is your strength?
He is forever lifted high, isn't he? Let's sing praise to him. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Stand with me. Let's worship with number 98 in our hymnal.
Affirmation of faith this morning will be on page 881 of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. First scripture reading this morning can be found on page 2 of your Pew Bible. It is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Come to our time of giving this morning. We want to invite our ushers forward as they make their way to the front. Friday we had the opportunity to pray for our four that went representing our congregation to Costa Rica as they left yesterday. But I want you to know that they went with gifts from all of us. So here at First United Methodist, your giving matters. Whether you're giving to missionaries going off to other countries, whether you're giving to events that happened like yesterday where we gave out 170 backpacks for kids going back to school, or whether you're giving here to this building that keeps the lights on and so that we can continue to be a light of hope in our community, everything you give matters. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for the honor and privilege it is to have this act of worship, to make this investment of more than just our time and talent, but our treasure. God, help us to give even until it hurts, if it means that people will encounter your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Good morning. How is everybody? Yes, y'all know I talk with my hands, so that's why I have Steve.
I'm the mic holder.
He's my assistant today. Well, I am so glad you were all here. In fact, I love seeing y'all here every day. I get so excited every Sunday when all these kids come down because it's nice to see kids in the church. Well, you know what? Do you think God loves you? Yes? Do you know that God loves you? Does God love everyone? Do you think some people don't know that God loves them? Yeah. Do you think that there might be people that think, well, I've done too many bad things, or I just don't do the right things, and God doesn't love me? And do you think there are people like that? There probably are in the world, and that's kind of sad, right? So we need to teach everybody that God loves us. And God's love is big enough to encompass all of us, right? So I'm going to show you a little demonstration to show you how God's love is big enough for all of us. Okay? Okay, see, I'm going to have to move so you can see. Okay, so I have this cup of water filled about halfway full, excuse me. And this is God's love. Okay? This pretty little colored rock is you. So we're going to put you in God's love. Does God's love surround you? Yeah, it's all the way around you, right? Okay, so, but there's still more room in there, right? So let's say this one is your mom. Is there still more room? Okay, what about this one's your dad? Is there still more room? Brothers, sisters? Still more room? Aunts, uncles, cousins? Friends, neighbors? Teachers? People we don't even know? Is there still more room? So we could go on and on and on and on, couldn't we? We could. Well, we'll see. Okay, we'll pour the whole basket and we'll see if it fits. Hot dog, it fits. Is there still room? There's still more room. So this is like God's love. It surrounds all of us. And God has enough love for all of us. Okay, will y'all pray with me? Lord, thank you for having enough love for all of us, and that's wide enough and deep enough and big enough to encompass us all. We thank you for loving us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing a new old hymn. Number 111 in your hymnal, How Can We Name a Love? You may go, I don't know this song, but you may know the tune. The tune is, This Is My Father's World. How many of you know that one? Excellent. Let's stand together. Let's sing number 111.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm trying to remind myself not just to. I don't ignore you guys. Well, I don't forget about you either, but. Yeah. It is a wonderful morning, isn't it? It's a beautiful day to come to worship, to gather together in the house of God. And what makes it God's house is His people who gather in His name, who gather in His love. We bring our hopes, our dreams, our hurts, our fears, and our concerns for each other, and love for each other. And we are reminded that it is a privilege to pray, that it is not an earned right. It's one of the many graces that God pours out upon us. And so let us look to the Lord in prayer as we lift up, hopefully throughout the week, those upon our prayer list, and those we will mention today, is to lift up the people of Redding, California, who have lost their homes and they've lost family in the car fire. And I'm also reminded of the fire in Greece. We lift up with joy the Costa Rica mission, the mission team. They have made it safely to their destination yesterday, and I'm sure are hard at work doing God's work in Costa Rica. And we have one. This is from Carolyn McComas. It's for Billy Stevens Jr. and his family. His funeral will be Thursday, August 2nd, at 2 o'clock at Hawkins. He's the nephew of Brenda. Let us keep the whole family
in our prayers. Elmer Schuster, may we lift him up in prayer for surgery. This is from Lisa Davis. And the family of Frankie Ann Williams, who is the mother of Teresa Crisp, who has passed away. Frankie Ann, and this is given to us by Beverly Crisp. And Clarence Pitts, who is recovering from surgery. This is from Bill and Peggy Johnson. Let us keep them in our prayers. And now let us go to the Lord our God in prayer. Almighty and holy God, it is a joy to be here. We want to give you great thanks and all glory for the beauty that surrounds us, the beauty of your love, and the love for one another, the ability to see you with our heart, our spirit. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will help us to set aside all the concerns that we carry with us each and every day, even the anger, resentment, our fears. Let them not stand between us and you, our Lord, our God, or between each other. For we are truly one people and one God and one Christ. And we give thanks to you. We ask you that you will continue to lead us as a congregation, that the world will see your Son, Jesus Christ, see his face when they see us. May your will be done when we go forth in unity and action and by ourselves as we encounter the hurting world. May your power and your glory be in us as we need our own healing. We ask that you will be with those upon our prayer list and the names we've lifted up. By the power of Almighty God, we ask you, dear Lord, that you will be with those who are in grief and those who suffer in illness of mind or body and or spirit. Remind us of your great presence and that your love for us is unending and that you are always calling us to be your church, to be your people. We ask that you will be with our nation, like all the nations of the world, and we ask that you will be with every single one, that the leaders, they will hear you speak and they will have the courage to go forward and to do your good will in this world. We also admit, dear Lord, that we are in need of the forgiveness of our sins. We are also a fallen people, a fallen race. And there is violence and there is hurt. But we give thanks to you for those you have called forth out of this life to stand between us and violence and those and us in danger. We ask that you will be with the men and women who serve abroad and here at home on our streets. Those who stand between us and those who would harm us. Those who answer the call to come and to help us in our most dire times, even risking life. We ask that you will be with their families. Give them peace while they do your work. Help us, dear Lord, because we are your church and we are always in need of your help. We praise you. And hear in our hearts our thanksgiving as we lift up the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today continues in the book of Ephesians, the letter to the little church in Ephesus that is struggling in life and struggling in faith and just struggling to remain true to their own call to be Christ's people in the world. Paul writes, the reason he wants to lift them up in a prayer and he wants them to have courage that they are in Christ Jesus, that the Lord is with them. And he wants to remind them that they have access to God and to be bold and to be confident. And so he says, I pray therefore that you may not lose heart. So let us hear. For this reason, I bow my knees before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray, according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We have been filled with Christ. We have been blessed. We've talked about the grace of God and the prevenient grace that God's grace was with each and every one of us before we were born. It's been calling us. God's grace was with us back at the beginning of the foundation of the world and the creation. God created because God loves. God redeems because God loves. God calls to each and every one of us. And in Jesus Christ, we find the final opening of the door that we may find that we are still surrounded by God, that we are still loved by God, and that God has something for us. He has a salvation that we love and we embrace, that of the life after death. But that's just the beginning of it. And if we think of how incredible, powerful it is that we will live after death, and that's just the beginning. What plans God has for us, plans of salvation, plans of love, plans of recreating this world that we have made. And I say that we have made, if we were to go back to the scripture that was read earlier, in Genesis, and reminded of what we call the fall of man or the fall of humanity. And I just love this little bit where you listen to this. It says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. At the time of the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? I think it's a good question for all of us. Where are you? Because we have found our salvation in the grace of God. We have been justified not by the acts that we have done, but by what God has done, the great love of God, and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and the way that Jesus lived His life, as His teachings that He gave to us, and the healing, and we see who God actually is. In the way and the truth and the life that Jesus has and has shown us. And we accept this great salvation. But then we just kind of lay it aside. Say, okay, that's great. That's good. You know, I'm comfortable. Now I'm going to go about my life. But that's not what God is calling us to. That's not being the church. It's not being the people of Jesus Christ. Being the people of Jesus Christ is actually looking to Christ. And seeing Christ as the model human being. And if we hear this prayer that Paul had for the church in the Corinthians, and there's a blessing. First, he starts out with a blessing. So let's read this as if he's talking to us, because it is. The scripture is praying for us. May he grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit. It is by the power of the Spirit that we actually even know that we need God, because we're pretty good at being self-sufficient. We're pretty good at putting together our own world and making our own lives, even though it does tend to fall apart at times. But we believe in pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. But there's something we cannot gain on our own. But by the power of the Spirit, that grace that was before, is calling us and teaching us and showing us that we need God in our life. And all we have to do is look at our world to see we need God. What does humanity look without God, look like without the love of God? Open the newspaper, I don't know, a lot of you don't read newspapers anymore. Open up the computer, the phone, but it's there before us. And even after God has done so much work within us and we've accepted this, as we said last week, you know, we call out with the call of help, and we realize that, yes, we need God in our lives. We really desperately need God in our lives. And what is it we say? We say we repent, which just simply means turn around, change our life. Because the direction we're going is away from God. It's out into the trees. It's like Adam and Eve hiding in the trees, like we're going to hide from God. And I love that question that, you know, as if God doesn't know where they're at. Where are you? Even after we've found Christ, even after we say we've claimed our salvation, is God looking around and going, where are you? Sometimes I think he looks around and as a reminder to me, he says, where are you, Rick Davis? Where are you when I'm calling? Where are you when I need you? Where are you when my grace needs to be seen in the world and shown to the world? And where are you when... And the list probably goes on longer than I want. And I can't do anything about it on my own. And that's the unnerving part. I can't do it on my own. And there's the not so good news, neither can you. But then the good news, the gospel is that God is with us. And that all these things that Paul is praying for this church and praying for us and as a congregation is being prayed for us. And we are empowered by the Spirit. And we call it sanctification or justification. Sanctification or rejuvenation. It all points to change, doesn't it? Is anyone's life staying exactly the same? Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. Look a little closer. Life is changing. People affect us. We affect people. Some of us are even getting older. Life changes. And life affects us when it changes. People affect us. They can shape us. The question is, are we going to let everyone else in the world shape us? If we're going to change, why not change by the power of the Spirit of God? God has called each and every one of us to move forward in life. We are not to stays and just say, oh, thank you God, thank you Jesus, and then go about our life. Salvation is a living process of joy and rejuvenation. We are called to hear God speak in the everyday part of life and to answer these calls. And when we do so, we are changed inside. We begin to live up to what Paul is really hoping for them. He's given them a blessing. He's, you know, through the Spirit, may you have Christ dwell within you. Are you feeling like Christ is dwelling within you? Oh, I do hope so. Especially now when we're surrounded by each other, we're surrounded by the power of the Spirit. But the Spirit is there all the time. And sometimes when we're out in the world and we're doing what we do, and we forget that Christ is with us. We make room for everything else except God. And we find our ourselves looking around and going, why is everything such a mess? Why is my life such a mess? Why can I not make these improvements? Why can I not walk away from this bad deal? We have to understand that God is with us and that there is power in this. And Paul's prayer is to the church in Ephesus and the church here in Bridgeport, that we will understand that actually Jesus Christ is in our hearts and begin to live it. It's great to say it, but it's real to live it. And to live it with the courage, and to live it with the ability to make a difference in this world, make a difference with outside, to people who have never seen the face of Christ, to people who are searching for the face of Christ, or they've seen maybe one of us and they didn't see Christ. That's not the end of the story. We're being called forward, but we know we fall down, don't we? We know we fall backwards. But we're still being called to make a difference in our own lives, and make a difference in the lives of the people who are around us. There was a story that was on the TV. Actually, they did a piece on it this morning as I was getting ready for church, and it was about a police officer. I think they said his name was Carlton, and he's going about doing his regular work. And a homeless man walks up to him, and he's got a razor in his hand, not a cutting razor, but an electric razor. And he says, "Can you fix this? Because the McDonald's said they'll give me a job if I can clean up." How easy would it be to look at the guy and say, "Move along, move along. There's a shelter. There's a shelter. It's down on 14th Street, or whatever." But he takes the time and he looks at it, and apparently he's got some pretty good ability. He fixes the razor. And then it's time to give it back to the man, right? No. He takes the time to start shaving the man right there in the parking lot. He takes the time to help the man clean up, to help the man, to give him a chance in life that he can go back and maybe get that job. He takes a little bit out of his own life, his own time, and he shares a moment of dignity with him. And there's somebody out there with a cell phone, and they capture this, and it goes on the internet apparently, and it just went wild. Because we do love to see these kind of things, even when we don't carry them out all the time. This is just they interviewed him later, and he did not do this because he wanted to do something special. He just did what was on his heart. And the dominoes began to fall, because after it was seen on the internet, a professional barber came forth and they groomed the man, and some other people came together and got him some clothes and made him really presentable. And they showed a picture of him, and you could just see the life in his face, the life that had been beaten out of him. And he was going to go forth for his interview. Now, I don't know where the police officer's heart is with God. I don't know if he knows him. I don't know if he's living out his sanctification. Or if he's just recently found God in his justification, what we call, or simply the prevenient grace of God working. But you can take all of this and you see God work. What caused that homeless man to think that he could go up to this police officer and say, "Can you fix my razor?" I think that's God working. What causes a man in the middle of his day and he's got his duties and the very important duties as an officer and to stop and to mess with this guy's razor? But it changes people. I believe it changed his heart. Because you can't do something that God is calling you to do. You can't touch a heart that God is calling you to touch without being changed. You can't go forth and see a sick friend without being touched yourself. You can't pray with a stranger without praying for yourself, even though you're not trying to. You can't participate in God's kingdom without being touched and pulled in that sanctification. We fall forward. Yes, we fall flat on our face, but then we get up because God pulls us up, because God has something more in mind for us than our own sanctification, than our own justification, than justifying us, making us right with God. We're made right with God so that we can repent, turn around, make a difference in our life. Why? Because He's got work for us to do in His kingdom. And the governments aren't going to do what God needs us to do. This is a spiritual matter. This is a God matter. This is Jesus Christ calling us. Come and make a difference in my world. Come and make a difference. Think of all of the people who were touched, who saw that video. You remember when, kind of several of the different scriptures, when Jesus says, you know, throw a few seeds and it'll make a great harvest. I just meshed about 10 scriptures together. Who knows how large the harvest was from this simple act of kindness that He did. And I'll tell you what, everybody in this room has done something similar, and you had no idea that God was working through you. It is time for us to wake up and to realize and to fall forward in Christ and to fall forward into God's kingdom. We have our connect. We have connect, deepen, and serve. We need to connect. We need to connect ourselves to God. We need to connect ourselves to people who have never met God or have felt abandoned by. And we need to bring them back into this church. God's church. We need to show them God's face, not our face. We need to deepen ourselves. We need to deepen ourselves in the Scripture. We need to deepen ourselves in prayers. My goodness, how can we know God if we don't talk to Him? We need to deepen ourselves. Let me correct myself. We need to let God deepen us. Let us swim in deep waters. It's safe. And we need to serve. Not serve because we're trying to check off boxes of salvation. That's never been the point. Serve because God is changing us, making us repent of the way that we're living our life for ourselves and taking us to wonderful places. Let us serve like yesterday when the picnic in the park, and we joined with Cates Baptist Church and other organizations, provided the backpacks and the sanitation kits, a lot of food, games. I think most of all we provided some love. Because there were a lot of kids there, and there was a lot of need there. You could see it. You can also feel the heat. Really, Gabe. Yeah, it was hot. But I wouldn't trade yesterday morning for anything. And I only hope and pray that whatever it was that I did, that God will turn into a great harvest. And our hope and prayer as a church, as a congregation, is that God will take what we do and turn it into a great harvest. And in the process, we will grow closer to being the person that we were supposed to be. If fewer times in our life, God will have to ask, "Where are you?" But we'll in turn will say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant. Thank you for showing my love to this world. What more can you want?" It's the gospel. Amen. While we sing our closing hymn, if this is the time you'd like to join the congregation, we joyfully invite you forward. If you would want to come and make use of the chancellor rail and pray, invite you to do so.
Stand with me. Turn to your hymnal. In your hymnal, so number 170. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing together.
that Almighty God, the Son, Jesus Christ, lives in your heart by the power of the Spirit. Go forth and show them Christ. Amen.